Hour on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, just the volume on my headphones.
I hate George Michael.
Say what?
I hate George Michael because he's so handsome.
Oh. Like, I don't know where you were going with that.
Well, yeah, well, this is Wham, Last Christmas.
Yeah, I know. Is this one of your favorite Christmas songs?
I do like this song.
It's fine.
And it's different.
I don't hate it. I don't even dislike it, but it's not one of my favorites. It's a, you know, I'm good with it.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's hooking up with his sister right there.
You doing this on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Slide the Tower on the Horn. Again, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. Big thank you to Westlake head coach Todd Dodge for joining us in hour number one for his weekly in-studio visit. I really, really hope we get to do definitely another one. And usually, I don't know if that last visit would be in-studio or not, but it would be the week that I'm out after the state championships. So hopefully we get at least one more in here with Coach Dodge next week. It's always good talking ball with Coach.
This is a historic moment. Every time he comes in here, it's history, man.
I was not going to ask him about this because I'm not going to ask the head coach and jinx it, right? This is something you don't ask the head coach until after things are in the books. Close the book on that. But this topic got brought up on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7 this weekend. Talking about historically how good is this Westlake team relative to when you think about Texas high school football, you know, the best teams you've ever heard of or seen, 85 Yates and 88 Carter, pick any of Coach Dodge's Southlake teams or one of Gary Joseph's better Katy teams, the Katy team that beat Lake Travis with that unbelievable defense. Like, where does this Westlake team rank historically? And I didn't get into that side of it because that's a fool's errand, trying to project how different teams would do in different eras. But I said, look, if they get to the end and if they beat who they're going to need to beat to, number one, get to a state championship game, but two, then go finish the job, you would look at the body of work and say, and how they've done it to this point and say, this might be the best team he's ever had, Coach Dodge has ever had, which is saying a mouthful because some of his Southlake teams were really, really good. Like mythical national championship level good.
Yeah, I always felt that the 2015 team that lost to North Shore in overtime with Sam when he was a junior, I always thought that was the best team. It did not have Nakia Watson, though. But that's how good Sam was, man. He took a beating that game.
I mean, I think he totaled over 50 touchdowns that year.
Yeah. And I watched them beat Allen. That was so crazy. Chase Coakley was going off. Man, that was such a good team. And like, Coach Dodge and his wife, they were dabbing. Remember when dabs were cool? Everybody was dabbing? They were the Westlake dabberals. They were so cool.
Boy, Snoop, we got text line. This must have just slipped my mind or I just haven't paid attention. Did you know George Michael is no longer with us? Did you not know that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He passed away in 2016 on December 25th, 2016.
I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
Are you probably going to retire last Christmas from the rotation at this point?
Yes. Oh my, I'm sorry, George Michael.
Yeah, well, let's
rest in
peace. Bevo Lance Jason and Hook'em 96 and everybody else on the Specs text line. I had no idea, but yeah.
He ain't
Thanks for making Snoop. You didn't have to read the text out loud. Figured you felt bad enough. But.
Oh my God. He's very handsome.
Let's talk some Longhorn football. Texas, of course. We've been talking about bowl games. We're not talking about a bowl game in relation to Texas. Longhorns wrapped up a 5-7 season with a win over Kansas State on Black Friday. But a lot of recruiting going on right now. Mike Roach has a Breakfast Bites column up at Horns 24/7. It's been up for a minute. But, is this one of those deals? Did Chad Hastings kill George Michael? Chad might have. Who was it that Chad killed? I know Chad killed David Bowie. And I think there's been a few others, but yeah, the David Bowie's the one that I know. Chad killed David Bowie. Did Chad kill George Michael? Anyways, I just saw Trey Elling down the hall. I'll ask Trey during the break. I'll pop out and see if he can confirm that. But anyway, let's get to a little bit of Longhorn recruiting. Again, Mike Roach's Breakfast Bites column at Horns 24/7. Those of you who are subscribed on the site already know about it, but I'll just give you the rundown on it. Again, Mike did confirm the Anwar Richardson report from early this morning. The Quinn Ewers is going to visit Texas on Saturday. And I just get the feeling like as excited as Longhorn fans are, the prospect of Quinn Ewers coming in here and being in a competition for QB1, maybe with Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, maybe with one of those guys, maybe with neither of those guys. That's just the nature of the beast when you're talking about quarterbacks. I think a lot of the feedback I'm getting on this Snoop, on this Quinn Ewers saga, everybody's just ready for it to be over and see, okay, where are you going to go to school? It does sound, for all intents and purposes, like it's down to Texas Tech and Texas. This is from Mike's report, though. Again, this is Mike Roach's report at Horns 24/7. A source I spoke with earlier in the week said the staff wanted to get Ewers to Austin but didn't view it as a necessity. Ewers visited Lubbock on Sunday to see Texas Tech and followed that up with a trip to TCU early in the week. The Red Raiders have been the toughest competition for Ewers, but confidence in Texas started rising yesterday without the looming prospect of a visit. Ewers grew up a dyed-in-the-wool Texas fan, and Texas getting the final visit could be the last step in locking up the best passer on the market. So there you have it. That's the latest on where things stand with Texas and Quinn Ewers, the former South Lake Carroll quarterback, former number one overall recruit in the country. He would have been in the class of 2022, reclassified to 2021, played his freshman year at Ohio State, and I use play as a relative term because he only took, I believe, 3 snaps, did not throw a pass in his one season with the Buckeyes. He has hit the portal, and he is definitely the top transfer candidate on the market. But keep this in mind, too. My colleague Chip Brown reported this yesterday, and we've been hearing this, and I don't think this is a secret. Outside of Quinn, you were separate from that. Texas has been in the market for other transfer quarterbacks. They have kicked the tires on other transfer quarterbacks. And there's 2 reasons for that. Number one, again, like we talked about, you don't ever want to stop stockpiling talent in that room. When you think you've got a quarterback room, that's when you're setting yourself up for failure in college football today. You can never feel like you're set at that room. So that's one reason why Sark is doing it. You just want to keep adding talented bodies to it. Number two, and again, I mentioned this yesterday, I talked about this on Longhorn Blitz. Before Quinn Ewers came into the picture, we were still talking about the prospect of, you know, you might get through spring with Casey Thompson and Hudson Card still on your roster, but there is a chance that resides somewhere between slim and none that you're going to have both of those guys by the time you get to fall camp. Either somebody wins the job and the other guy transfers, or one of them doesn't like the, whatever the dynamics are, that's just not the reality in college football today. So Sark and company, AJ Milwee, everybody's doing their due diligence on quarterbacks in the portal, trying to figure out how to make that position better. And Sark was pretty blunt in the post-game press conference following the Kansas State game and, you know, the Monday press conference leading up to that game. In the quarterback position, they need to open up that quarterback job. That position did not produce in an ideal fashion in 2021. And whether Hudson Card wasn't ready, whether you can chalk that up simply to Casey Thompson's thumb injury, whatever the case is, you left some meat on the bone from what you could have done in terms of your production at quarterback. You still had a freshman All-American wide receiver in Xavier Worthy. You still had a first-team All-Big 12 running back in Bijan Robinson, and who missed a couple of conference games, and in a really good year for running backs in this league, ended up being the coach's choice for first-team All-Big 12. So you had a couple of weapons. It wasn't an ideal situation on offense. Like I mentioned, you got those 2 weapons. But outside of that, we know about the issues in terms of receiver depth. And once Joshua Moore left the program, then you were pretty much Xavier Worthy and then the rest of the roster, which there wasn't a ton to write home about. I thought Marcus Washington, he played a great game against Kansas and then was just kind of up and down against West Virginia, had a couple of drops. And outside of that, there just wasn't anything to write home about at wide receiver. And you saw running back was your deepest, most talented position. We saw what we saw at the end of the year with Roschon Johnson in the K-State game. But we know what the situation with the offensive line was. I say all that to say this, it wasn't a great situation around the Texas quarterbacks. No Texas quarterback, even in a perfect world, would have been in Heisman contention this year. but you could have gotten more out of that position, and that's a position that's hard. Look, we talk about upgrading the offensive line, talk about upgrading the wide receiver position. I think even if Texas could, they would maybe look to upgrade a tight end a little bit, if it's possible, if the right guy is out there. And we know about the positional upgrades that need to be made on defense. But Sark's also looking to upgrade that quarterback position. I think you, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I'm going into the offseason of the mindset of, with the exception of Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy, no other starting position should be safe. Those are your two best players, without question. I even think as talented as a guy like Alfred Collins is, even though you've got a couple of veterans and DeMarvian Overshown and Deshaun Jameson on defense, man, look, for the first spring practice, you're going to have to run 11 out there on offense and 11 out there on defense. So some of those guys are going to be starters by default. But I'm of the opinion that other than those two guys, other than Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy, every position on this team should be open. Every position on this team, quarterback included, can stand to upgrade. So that's why they're kicking around, kicking the tires on guys in the portal other than Quinn Ewers.
Jatavion Sanders maybe at tight end?
Well, Snoop, I know they love – I mean, Craig and I have talked about it. Sark's mentioned it publicly, but he and I both heard the same things behind the scenes. Like, they love, just absolutely love those three young tight ends that they've got on campus right now, with Jatavion Sanders, Gunnar Helm, and Juan Davis. And we know Cade Brewer's not coming back. Jared Wiley's interesting because he's spent 3 years in a program, but he's a guy that's graduated. So does he stick around to start working on a master's degree? Does he look to just move on? Does he look to play somewhere else? I don't know what Jared Wiley's plan is. But you can definitely stand to upgrade at that position, and it could be that learning curve for Jatavion Sanders getting accelerated, or the learning curve for Gunnar Helm or Juan Davis. In a perfect world, you like all three of those guys to take massive steps forward and compete with Jared Wiley for playing time. This is getting kind of really granular with it, but that's one of those scenarios where I think Sark has to look at it and say, okay, you are basically a base 12 personnel offense in 2021. One running back, two tight ends. And I thought Sark was going to do more true two-back stuff, and he did some of it, but they didn't do a ton of it. Does he go into the offseason thinking, no, we like these young tight ends, but maybe they're not ready yet? Then make those tight ends kind of prove it if you're going to be a 12 personnel offense. But go into the winter, go into winter conditioning thinking, you're going to be a base 20 or 21 personnel offense. Two running backs, either one tight end if you're in 21 personnel, or no tight ends if you're in 20 personnel. But you maximize your big playability, you maximize everything on offense, you make yourself that much harder to defend if you've got Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson on the field at the same time. And you feel like, with Jonathan Brooks coming up, he's going to be coming off of a shoulder injury, but now you're bringing in Jaden Blue, who didn't play his senior year at Klein Kane. You're still going to have some depth and some talent at that running back position. So it could be Jatavion Sanders, new, but if I'm Sark and Jeff Banks, I'm thinking those guys have to earn it. Like Roschon Johnson, Bijan Robinson, those guys have earned it. They've earned the right to be considered starters. And look, say what you want about him. Yes, he's had trouble staying on the field, but when Jordan Whittington's healthy, he's the next closest thing you have to a proven commodity. Talent hasn't been the issue at Jordan Whittington. Production hasn't been the issue at Jordan Whittington. It's just, can he stay healthy? That said, if you're Sark, there's no way you can build an offense around that guy. He can be a part of your offense. He can't be a feature part. And that's no knock on him. Mack Brown said the same thing about Jordan Shipley. Like, I can't trust that guy. Jordan Shipley had to earn that trust back. Bo Scaife had to earn that trust back. There was a time where Selvin Young had to earn that trust back. Some guys just have to earn that trust back. And Jordan Whittington, unfortunately, is in that place, which is what makes it really unfortunate, is you really need playmakers at that receiver position. That's the other intriguing thing about Quinn Ewers and how this all lines up and when this goes down and when he either officially or unofficially becomes a part of this class. At that point, are you able then to convince an Evan Stewart to give you a second look? The Texas A&M commit, the five-star wide receiver out of Frisco Liberty. Are you able to maybe get back in with an Armani Winfield, a guy that Quinn Ewers was close to? That's the upside. Not the upside, but that's one of those added bonuses of getting Quinn Ewers. Yes, you're getting a guy who potentially is a generational talent at the quarterback position, You're also getting a guy that a lot of skill position guys would love to come play with on the 40 acres. So that's something to keep in mind as we all those things. Quarterback depth, what your offense is going to look like, who else can join the fold, all that stuff. It's the tentacles that reach out from the Quinn Ewers situation. A couple of other recruiting notes. A couple of guys from the Metroplex. Zamion Bryce, the corner. He's listed as a wide receiver. If you look at him in the 24/7 Sports recruiting database, he's listed as a wide receiver. But Zamion Bryce, Texas likes him as a defensive back. He and Savion Red, who was a high school quarterback at Grand Prairie, Texas likes him as a slot receiver. They're both going to be on campus this weekend for official visits. Nick Harris and Mike Roach and Horns 24/7, these guys have already put in 24/7 Sports crystal ball projections for Savion Red to land at Texas. So Texas is on the hunt for wide receivers. They've obviously had Armani Winfield in the fold. That did not happen. Evan Stewart right now committed to A&M. Unless something changes, like maybe the Quinn Ewers dynamic changes things, he's going to sign with Texas A&M. So Texas is very much in the need for wide receivers. Savion Red, the former SMU commit, again, he's gotten 24/7 Sports crystal ball projections to Texas from both Mike Roach and Nick Harris and Horns 24/7. A couple of things to wrap up with the offensive line. Mike and Nick are both working on getting more intel on Cam Dewberry, the big offensive lineman from Humble Atascocita, and Calvin Banks, another Humble guy out of Summer Creek. But this is what Mike wrote this morning again in his column at Horns 24/7. A well-placed source told me last night there's a possibility Kelvin Banks shuts it down early. Yesterday, we heard that he could extend his timeline to February, giving just about every school recruiting him the chance to regroup and put the press on. While he may want that clarity, the source I spoke with said that the family was wary of the process and were considering shutting things down because of it. So Kelvin Banks, the five-star offensive tackle out of Summer Creek, committed to Oregon. Actually, was committed to Oklahoma State at one point. It looked like his decision was coming down to Texas and Texas A&M. He ends up committing to Oregon. Mario Cristobal leaves Oregon, heads to Miami. Alex Mirabel, the offensive line coach at Oregon, is going with Mario Cristobal to Miami. So Kelvin Banks is decommitted from Oregon. He's opened things up. All signs kind of point to Texas maybe being the favorite here, but there's a lot for that young man to process. And as we sit here now, as of today, 1 week away from National Signing Day, it's a lot to take in 7 days before he gets ready to make his decision, which is scheduled to go down next week. Maybe he makes it next week. Maybe he does push to February. I don't know. We'll see. But Texas has done a really good job putting itself in a position to be able to strike when Kelvin Banks came onto the market with the Oregon situation unfolding the way that it did. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get back to a little less recruiting and talk a little Longhorn football. We'll also get to some of your questions on the Specs text line, 337-3776. We'll do all that and more when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Texas women's basketball. The conference schedule includes Texas Tech on January 5th, Baylor on...
Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff House, Newt Daniel. This is the only, the one and only... plus to Craig not being here. Craig way out. He's with the men's basketball team getting ready for tomorrow's game between Texas and Seton Hall at the Prudential Center in Newark. Craig's not a big fan of the Christmas music going down this early, but Snoop and I are all about it. And this is my, if I'm power ranking my Christmas songs, this is number one for me. It always has been. Probably always will be. Although, I'm going to state, I don't know if it's a popular opinion, but it's an opinion that I think a lot of people would share with me. There's a lot of Christmas songs that can beat you down. Now, like, you just hear them, and it's like, you know, just chewing.
I know which one you're talking about in particular.
It's like just rubbing broken glass into your eye socket.
You're talking about Mariah Carey?
Yeah, I'm talking about Mariah Carey. Can I give you an alternative? Can I give you an alternative, though? It's in the spirit of Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You. Have you heard the Kelly Clarkson Christmas song, Underneath the Tree? It's in that same spirit, but it's so much of a better song. It's like an infinitely better song. Get a little sample of it right here.
Yeah, it's very doo-wop.
Very similar to the Mariah Carey song, but this is such a better song.
Day,
Love this one. This is what happens when you leave Snoop and I in charge. It's like the substitute teacher is here. But no, I love that song.
Yeah, that's good.
Not the Mariah Carey one. No, could very much do without it. Do you know my? Can I tell you this? My least, since I've already heard it, and it threatens to ruin the holidays. My least favorite Christmas song.
And one less than Mariah Carey.
I'm gonna beg you, like Snoop. I've never asked you for anything since we started the show, have I?
No.
I've never said, Snoop, I need you got to do this for me. Please make sure Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer does not air on this show.
No.
Please. I might be, I don't know if that glass is shatterproof, but if you played it, I would probably find out.
No, fam.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
Is that the one with the annoying voice?
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay.
I loathe that song. It's like a big Bertha driver right to my testicles. It's terrible. All right. On that note, let's go ahead and get to a long
segue.
Let's go ahead and get to a Longhorn notebook.
Hold on, the Bertha to the
Jeff Howe's Longhorn notebook.
Big Bertha driver to my testicles.
Yeah,
you're just getting that visual. Something that
I don't know why I pictured it in my head.
Well, I don't know why you did either, but that's on you, sir. That's not me. By the way, so getting back to something we talked about yesterday, I probably should have saved this for segment one and just so I could talk nothing but Longhorns here. But since we're we're doing banter right now, good Lord, why can I not talk today? This flat Diet Coke I got has just got me all out of sorts, Snoop.
Well, you're talking 2 hours by yourself, basically.
I grabbed a Diet Coke from the break room, which I think those Cokes were probably Coke Fest, maybe.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
And from underneath the sink?
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. Oh, well, now you should have told me that before I dumped it in this ice. Yeah. I should have had somebody go down to the vending machine and just
that,
grab me
that,
one from there.
That probably got here after being at the dollar store for like 10 years.
It tastes like it.
Yep.
It's not great, but it's keeping my mouth somewhat wet, so don't have dry mouth. But no, yesterday, so we're talking about the bit, the bowl pick'em with the fallout as one of us gets tased. And, you know, I said, hey, Snoop, the bad thing for Snoop could be he has to go get, like, either your COVID booster or a flu shot, one or the other. What about a blood? Have you had, like, have you gone to see our good friends at Total Men, Snoop, and done, like, your yearly wellness check?
Oh.
Get some blood drawn?
Oh. I guess I could. Yeah, I haven't done that in a while. It's been a minute. I would maybe do that just because I do probably need to do that.
Okay. Well, so there's a lot of different things that we could kind of torture Snoop with in the vein of needles. But my brother texted me yesterday because he was listening to us discuss this bit. And I don't know how my brother can do this, but he's like, hey, I can get you a taser. Just let me know when. I'm like, first off, it's pretty creepy that you know just how you feel like you have open access to go get a taser, number one. Number two, my biggest fear, you know, my biggest fear about being tased is, Snoop, it's not like cardiac arrest or anything like that. Like fall and hit your head and you get a brain injury. I don't want to go number two on myself getting tased. That's what I would worry. That would be my biggest fear. Because I think stuff could happen, right? Like you just totally just relax and like your bowels release. That would be that's my biggest fear about getting tased if we do whatever we're going to do. If we do a bowl pick'em and whatever the loser has to do.
That's what Bucky is a promo talking about him going on himself. In his diaper.
He does. Yeah, in his, the word diaper, I just did it, so that makes twice it's been uttered on these airwaves. So I don't really know where I was going with that, but such is life when you're just doing banter to kill time. Enough killing time. I want to get to some stuff on the Specs text line, some Texas football-related stuff. If you got questions, comments, concerns, whatever, 337-3776 is the Specs text line. One texter said, forget the skill positions. We've had good enough for the past 10 years. Who wants to come block for them? I would disagree with that, Longhorn fans. You've not been good enough at the skill positions for the last 10 years. You know how rough it's been for Texas in the NFL draft turning out wide receivers? Like, this is another reason why you hired Steve Sarkisian. Like, you needed a legitimate offensive guy to start churning out talent, NFL caliber talent, on that side of the ball. Do you know how long the gap between recruiting classes where you signed? Now, For the record, the class of 2009 that Marquise Goodwin was a part of, I do not count him towards these numbers because Marquise Goodwin signed a track scholarship once he played a down of football. His scholarship was converted to a football scholarship. But since he did not sign a national letter, I don't count Marquise Goodwin into any stats when we're talking about recruiting classes and draft picks. Jordan Shipley was a member of the class of 2004. I know that sounds hard to believe since he played like 19 years at Texas. But Jordan Shipley was the class of 2004. And he was drafted in the third round of the 2010 draft. The gap between the next time you recruited a wide receiver who ended up being drafted, the gap was from 2004 to 2016 when Texas recruited Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay. That's how long this program went recruiting a wide receiver that was eventually drafted. So no, you have not had good enough. And running back hadn't been much better. Jamaal Charles was in the class of 2005. The next time you recruited a running back that was drafted, Deontay Foreman in the class of 2014. So no, your skill positions have not been good enough the last 10 years. And yes, I've probably led the charge on talking about how brutal this program, this Texas program, has been and how it just boggles the mind how bad this program has been developing offensive linemen and trying to churn out blue-chip offensive linemen. But there is no single position in this program right now, like I said, except, and I think you can even couch running back by saying, well, you know you've got Bijan Robinson one more year. There's not a single position in this program that cannot stand to get help either through the high school recruits or the transfer portal. There's not a single position in this program that cannot stand to improve on in some way, shape, or form. What do I think about a healthy Jaden Alexis from one texter? I do think he's got the kind of vertical speed that intrigues Steve Sarkisian, but does he have the ability to be a run after the catch guy and make you miss guy, turn that track speed into the kind of make you miss ability on the football field? Like Xavier Worthy has the track times in high school, the 200 meter times, 100 meter times to back up how fast he is. But you watch Xavier Worthy with the ball in his hands, I don't know how fast he's going on some of those next gen stats that judge, you know, how many miles per hour a guy's running. I don't know how fast he's going, but it's damn fast enough. Like he's an elite sprinter who turns that into functional football speed and plays that fast. That's my concern or question, however you want to phrase that, with Jaden Alexis, is can that speed turn into functional football speed and make him a threat to score anytime he touches a football? Snoop, this one's kind of up right up your alley. Who was the Central Texas wide receiver that was following Quinn Ewers to Ohio State? It was Caleb Burton, who's been a long time Ohio State commitment. And I don't see him, even if Quinn Ewers is a Texas, I don't see him necessarily backing off of that.
No, me either.
Did that grin on your face?
Well, I forgot about that because they are besties.
Yeah, they're real. There's a lot of skill guys in this state who got real close with Quinn Ewers throughout the recruiting process.
What about the kid from Spearman?
Brennan Thompson. Yeah. Well, he's kind of it at the wide receiver position right now in this 22 class for Texas. So you could stand to improve for sure. Somebody's asking about Dakoldis Crawford, the former LSU commit visiting Texas. I don't know if that visit is actually going to happen. We'll keep you updated on that at Horns 24/7. I know there's been some buzz about him potentially visiting Texas, but we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. Again, Dakoldis Crawford, a kid from the state of Louisiana. Actually, he just picked up an offer from Nebraska, and it sounds like that's kind of where things are headed. Mickey Joseph, formerly the receivers coach at LSU, is now at Nebraska. Which, by the way, speaking of, I guess we'll cover this in coaching turnover today or coaching news today as part of the Longhorn Notebook as it pertains to Texas. At least it will for one more season, as long as Texas remains in the Big 12. Joey McGuire's Texas Tech staff is complete. He's hired Tim DeRuiter as his defensive coordinator coming over from Oregon, who is also bringing Marcel Yates with him to be the defensive pass game coordinator. Zarnell Fitch, I think that's actually a really good get for them. He was played for Gary Patterson, longtime TCU assistant. He is going to be the defensive line coach at Texas Tech. And the tight ends coach at Texas Tech, It's going to be lifetime Longhorn Josh Cochran. This guy has been, you know, Josh's career. I remember first hearing about Josh Cochran. Here's a blast from the past from Lake Travis, Snoop. I remember when Taylor Doyle was a recruit at Texas, and I was on the phone with him after a game in the 09 season and figuring out, like, hey, like, you know, he went to a game. I think it was maybe the UTEP game of that 09 season. I'm like, hey, who'd you talk to? You know, who'd you sit with? Who were some of the recruits there? And he said, man, he's like, there's this one kid I haven't seen before. He's like, this kid named Josh Cochran. He's from Hallsville out in East Texas. And it's like, he's, you know, like 260 pounds. He's like, but he's 6'6 and really broad shoulders. And it's the first time I'd heard of Josh Cochran. He ends up committing to and eventually signs with Texas and ends up starting as a true freshman and played really well early in his career. He just had a deal where it was kind of a recurring shoulder issue that eventually led to him having to medically retire. But he gets into coaching, ends up getting a promotion as much as one can get because Matt Rhule really valued him on the Baylor staff with what he was doing, helping them with the offensive line. He was with Matt Rhule. He ends up bouncing around, going to a couple different places, ends up at the FCS level with Scotty Walden at Austin Peay, and now is going to be the tight ends coach at Texas. So think about that. In the span of a decade, in 2011, Josh Cochran was a true freshman starting offensive tackle at Texas, and 10 years later, he gets hired to be the tight ends coach in the Big 12 at Texas Tech. So really, really nice career arc for Josh Cochran. So I like the way that Texas Tech staff is coming together. And Oklahoma has kind of, I don't know if they've made it official, but it does look like the hiring, actually, yes, it looks like it is official. Brent Venables is hiring Jeff Lebby, the Ole Miss offensive coordinator, obviously the son-in-law of Art Briles. He's a former Oklahoma guy. He's going to be the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. And where this gets interesting is, you know, Dylan Gabriel, the UCF quarterback who's in the transfer portal, he was supposedly heading to Ole Miss because of Jeff Lebby. Now, if Caleb Williams bolts with Spencer Rattler on his way out, now does this make Oklahoma a legitimate option for Dylan Gabriel? So that's the way this quarterback carousel, man. It's weird how we talk about the quarterback, the coaching carousel in college, and quarterback carousel is usually a term you'd say for the National Football League offseason. Man, with one-time transfer, it definitely, in the nature of that position, it applies to college football now more than ever. So Jeff Lebby is the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, that becoming official official today. CB talking about the last offensive player drafted in the first round for Texas. Yes, it was Vince Young, and that's also your gap in recruiting classes between quarterbacks who got drafted. Vince Young was taken, or actually it would be Colt McCoy would be the quarterback gap. Colt McCoy was taken, he was signed with Texas in the 2005 recruiting class. Sam Ellinger was 12 recruiting classes later in 2017. That's your gap between quarterbacks getting drafted. So, again, it hasn't been – it's been bad for the offensive line, but it's not like it's been sunshine and rainbows for all the other position groups on campus in terms of maximizing talent and developing it.
Kickers
and getting
punters.
It ready for the NFL. Yeah, you know, and – but no, kickers and punters, yes, but you know, Justin Tucker wasn't drafted, and he probably should have been. And there you can find some cases over the years. Like the offensive line draft drought, that should have stopped with Trey Hopkins. Like Trey Hopkins has found his way in the NFL as an undrafted free agent. Got one of those, which you don't see undrafted free agents. It's a really nice story when they do this. You kind of get through those first couple of years where you're going from practice squad to active roster to maybe you're waived and you got to sit out for a couple of weeks and then they bring you back. You get through that on your first contract. Then you get to that second contract when you get some real money. Trey Hopkins got one of those contracts. I think he signed a couple of years ago. It was a 3 or 4 year deal, about 20 to 22 million, something like that. I think it was 7 or 8 guaranteed. So Trey Hopkins got him one of those contracts. He should have been drafted. Trey Hopkins should have been drafted. And I would make the argument Donald Hawkins should have been drafted. He was an active roster NFL player as an undrafted free agent. I think both of those guys should have been drafted and stopped the O-line drought. It shouldn't have gone from Tony Hills to Connor Williams. But that said, I'm talking about two guys out of dozens and dozens and dozens of guys that Texas signed as offensive line recruits, highly touted offensive line recruits, guys that just straight up didn't pan out. So a lot to digest. We'll finish up taking your questions on the Specs text line when we come back as we close out a Wednesday edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Jeff Howe and Snoop Daniel.
Back here on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, wrapping up a hump day Wednesday edition of the show. We've had a really in-depth boys to men conversation on the air before.
Yeah.
And just to re-rack that, Snoop has let me know before that boys to men, number one, is not a guilty pleasure.
No.
And number two, is not a boy band.
No, no way.
Because I've heard boys to men, they can fall, for some people, they can fall into both categories. I just love me some boys to men, regardless of how you want to group them, where you want to place them, what category you want to pigeonhole them in. I just think it's awesomeness.
But they were grown men. Like, grown men can't be a boy band. Like, they're guys in a band. But and even when they started, they were youngish, but they were adults. Like, Sean Stockman, the dude with the real deep voice, he wasn't a kid.
They weren't doing the dancing stuff like the boy bands do, the choreography. You know,
they were doing it just a little bit, and they could dance, but they weren't like hanging tough. Oh,
it was more about the a cappella and the singing, yeah, and the all that fun stuff from Boyz II Men. So there's a little Boyz II Men, Let It Snow, as we're doing as much Christmas music for bumper music as we can until Craig gets back, because once he's back in the building, we got to shut that down. So. And because the week that Craig's going to allow it, I'm going to be out that week.
Yeah.
The week leading up to Christmas is the only time Snoop's going to be allowed to do it.
What are you doing for Christmas?
Just
chilling?
No, actually, the wife and I are going to Colorado.
Oh.
We're going to go to Colorado Springs for a couple of days. So, because typically, there's two times a year where I can take a vacation. Like, right smack dab in the middle of the summer, like, in between July 4th and Big 12 Media Days. Mm-hmm. And then typically, the other good time would be when my wife is out for Christmas, but usually I'm getting ready for a bowl game. Well, there is no bowl game to get ready for.
That's sad.
So I can go ahead and take a vacation this year. It is sad, but
I wish we were playing something. No bowl game at all? I guess that's what we deserve.
Snoop, when you finish 5-7, that's what happens.
God, it was looking so good to start the year. After Louisiana, I thought we were going to the ship. I'm not going to lie.
So I think we got everything cleared up on the Specs text line. One thing I did want to get to, Police Chief Cantu texted in and said that Bucky and Aaron watched him get tased live in 2019. So here's what I want to do. Craig's not here to extend the invite, but and this isn't a formal invite, Chief, but file this away. If you and Mustang Ridge's finest want to come up here when we got some downtime, like pretty much, Snoop, you know how it is. Once we get through, like once basketball season's over, really, and we start to getting into the summer and we get to that downtime, like on a Friday, Chief, if you want to bring one of your fine officers up here and do a taser demonstration for us in studio, that would be awesome.
Not on me.
I would want to see that. Yeah, and Snoop doesn't have to get tased either, so.
Tase a dog. I don't care.
No, don't tase a dog. It doesn't matter to you.
Oh, that is sad. I just thought about what I said. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be. You should have to go.
I would just say anybody but me. Well, I'd say another human.
I don't know, but you can't be talking about tasing dogs and whatnot,
okay.
Snoop.
How dare I?
Yes.
Mike Vick of me.
Yeah, that's. That might be the worst thing you've ever said on the air, Snoop.
Well,
it hadn't been a lot, but that's pretty bad. Tomorrow, we will keep the Texas football conversation going. Tomorrow, technically, it is my Friday because I'm not here on Friday, so tomorrow is my Friday on a Thursday. So I'll try to see if we can get Mike Roach in and maybe get a couple other guests to talk just the state of Longhorn football. Definitely going to talk a little recruiting because as we sit here 1 week away from National Signing Day, Steve Sarkisian looking to put the finishing touches on his first full-cycle recruiting class as the head coach of Texas. Now, we know Tom Herman's first full-cycle class. It was ranked third in the country, Charlie Strong's. It was, I think, 10th or 11th in the 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings. Right now, Sark's class, as we sit here right now in this moment, is ranked number 7 nationally, according to 24/7 Sports, based on the 24/7 Sports Composite. 21 verbal commitments. Brendan Thompson, the four-star wide receiver from Spearman, is the highest-ranked, highest-rated member of the class, checking in at number 81 overall in the 24/7 Sports Composite ranking. But Texas still finished, still chasing some big fish. All those offensive linemen, Malik Ogbo, Cam Dewberry, Kelvin Banks, they're going to have battles on their hands. There's been a wave of 24/7 Sports crystal ball picks coming in from Malik Ogbo, the big offensive tackle out of the state of Washington. But for Kelvin Banks and Cam Dewberry, Texas A&M is going to be fierce on both of those guys. So it's going to be a battle for Texas to close on both of those guys. It's just a matter of, this is when Sark has to be real strategic about how he does things and when he uses his in-home visit. I think he would like to get the last in-home visit with Kelvin Banks, but that's going to be a busy young man leading up to the start of the dead period, which is going to start on Monday. So Texas still chasing those offensive linemen. Again, Savion Redd still trying to figure out what they're doing at wide receiver. Still, again, trying to figure out that quarterback situation with Quinn Ewers. And again, if you missed it, Horns 24/7, our recruiting editor Mike Roach, did confirm that Quinn Ewers is indeed visiting Texas on Saturday. All signs still pointing to Texas being the favorite. So if you, depending on when you get that Quinn Ewers situation taken care of, now you can maybe start to think about, can you flip a couple of receivers? Can you add a couple more big-time receivers to this class? Texas still looking to finish off pieces in the secondary with a guy like Xavion Bryce out of Arlington Seguin, the former Oklahoma commit. So a lot of moving pieces still for Texas in this early signing period for the class of 2022. Big thank you to Westlake head coach Todd Dodge for joining us today for his weekly visit. Stay tuned. Our live local programming here on the Horn continues next with Shirts and Skins coming up at the top of the hour. For Coach Dodge, for Snoop Daniel, for the absent Craig Way, I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back tomorrow to light the tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't,
they're playing basketball. They're playing.